I'm Chris.
And I'm Kylie. And this is Redefining Resilience,
where we explore what it means to build a resilient lifestyle
so you can thrive in any and every situation.
So what do you want to talk about today on our two-week hiatus?
Well, we've had some real life happening behind the scenes.
We have some very interesting circumstances.
Yeah. We had your strongman competition in Illinois, and I got into a car accident.
An awesome one, actually.
Competition or car accident?
Car accident.
Was it awesome?
Yeah, it could have been a scene out of an action movie pretty fast.
Yeah, it felt like it at the time.
So since we talk about resilience, coaching, vision, and composure, and we're in the composure domain, talk about being cool, calm, and collected, let's actually implement that. So I have a couple questions for you about this car wreck scenario and how you used your composure to get through it.
Yeah, I absolutely felt like the resilience training up until that point was for a purpose. And when that accident happened, I was like, all right, now's the time to leverage the skills that I've been working on.
Yeah. I've been around a couple car accidents before, and this one was pretty good. And you were very calm the whole time.
I don't know if I was very calm, but I definitely felt collected at the time of the accident, and then subsequently afterwards, I kind of knew the stages of the process that I needed to move through in order to get to a place where I was able to just accept it and move forward.
So just so everybody's aware, can you walk us through what happened?
Yes. So I was driving on the highway and approaching the exit to the next highway I needed to take. Everybody was slowing down. I was slowing down. And all of a sudden, the tanker in front of me got cut off by another car. He had to slam on his brakes abruptly. I had to try and swerve to miss hitting him. Couldn't clear it. And I clipped the back end of his trailer with the front end of my vehicle. And essentially, the whole front quarter panel on my side of the car, the driver's side, got ripped off. And I spun into the guardrail, the airbag deployed. I think I put my hand up in front of my face when the airbag went off and I broke my hand. I had a bloody nose and I really didn't know, like, one, if I was injured or to what degree. So when the accident happened, immediately after, there was smoke coming out of the airbag. I've never been in a car accident where the airbags went off, so I had no idea that this is a normal, like, chemical that comes out of the airbag. And so I thought the car was on fire. So naturally, I'm like, okay, get out of this burning vehicle. It was not on fire. But my first gut reaction was to get out of the car as fast as I possibly could. So when I went to go open the door, I was like, ooh, my hand hurts. And I looked down and, like, the swelling was immediate. And it looked like I had an extra knuckle on the side of my hand. And I broke my fifth metatarsal, which is basically the bone in your hand that attaches to your pinky finger, on my left hand. So non-dominant, ideal hand to break if I'm going to break a hand. And that was really my only real injury. And then I went to grab my phone to either call 911 or you. And I thought in my head, well, a witness is probably going to call 911. So I'm not going to call 911. No one's going to call Chris. So I'm going to call Chris. And as I was picking up my phone to, like, dial your number, blood dripped down on the phone. And I was like, oh shit, where's that coming from? And I touched my face all over and I couldn't find any blood anywhere on my face. And then I wiped my nose and I realized the blood was coming from my nose. I was like, okay, it's just a bloody nose. No big deal. The moneymaker was okay.
Thank God.
Thank God. No nose job is necessary. Although my sister would probably tell you that I still need a nose job.
She's a liar.
She is. And so I called Chris. You came right away. And then police came. A couple fire trucks, I think, came. A couple ambulances came. And they evaluated the situation. I was fine. The driver of the truck was totally fine. His truck was totally fine. Maybe some plastic pieces came off of his truck. I don't really know. I was more so concerned about my poor Jeep, which was totaled. So it's essentially what happened.
I mean, it was a lot. So when I pulled up, I had to kind of muscle my way through traffic to get off the side of the highway to go down the side of the highway to get to you. Mm-hmm. And your car was spun past 90 degrees, kind of almost aiming back into traffic.
Yeah.
And all the way tucked up against the guardrail. And the tanker truck driver had his hands on his head, just walking around, clearly distraught that somebody had been hurt. And then he had all the emergency vehicles everywhere. It was intense.
Yeah.
But you had a significant bump on your left hand.
It was a golf ball.
Yeah, very broken.
Yeah.
So. But it was interesting because when I got there, when you called me, you were pretty upset.
Yeah.
So I jumped in the car and raced down there, but
it was a brand new Jeep. I mean, This is a 2023 Jeep Wrangler. It was like my dream car, and I just wrecked it. Like, I was probably more upset about the fact that I ruined my vehicle, and then you had this strongman competition coming up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, are we going to be able to get there? Like, what's going to happen? And I'm thinking about all the appointments I've got coming up. And then my next call was to Caitlin and just to get my work stuff, like, in order, have her cancel my meetings for the rest of the day and just help me restructure the next couple of days so that I had time to deal with this.
So I think it's really cool that you went down that path. I want to jump into that in a minute, but what I think is really important is to understand the emotions that you went through and what you can even remember from the situation. Mm-hmm. Because your emotions are just based on the stimulus of the situation. And you getting in a wreck, spinning your car around, hitting a guardrail and having a broken hand and blood on the ground, like, that's a lot to take in. Mm-hmm. What do you remember emotionally from that? Like, stepping out of the car, what did you feel at the beginning of it?
I felt like eerily calm because my first reaction was like, oh my God, I'm still alive. Because when I smashed into the back of that trailer, I thought that could have been like the last image I saw on this planet. I truly like thought, all right, this is death. And then when I opened the car door and I realized like I'm fine. It was like, oh my God, nothing else really matters because I made it. I'm alive. And it was almost like this eerie calm. Like, I was kind of panicked because I thought that I needed to be panicked. And then as like more and more people kept showing up and asking me if I was okay, it was obvious I was very okay. I was more okay than I felt like I should have been. And so I just remember I wasn't really afraid. I just wanted to, like, get my hand taken care of. Because at that point, pain was kicking in and my hand was, like, throbbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first instinct is, like, okay, who's counting on me to show up? Okay, the appointment I was on my way to is probably going to be wondering where I am. So that's why I called Caitlin immediately and, like, just thought through, all right, logically, what's my next step here? And then I knew at that point, like, once I got the paperwork and shit handled with the cops, like, I just needed to get to a hospital because my hand hurt so bad.
It's interesting to think, though, because how many car wrecks do you see, like, on television or that you have heard about that everything is just pure panic mode for, like, hours?
Yeah.
Like, people running around, laying on the ground, crying about their car, like, just pure panic.
Yeah.
This was the most calm car wreck scene I've ever been a part of. It's like, and to say, all right, I just wrecked my car. Cool, I'm alive. Now I have to take care of the people that are depending on me.
Yeah.
Like, that's above and beyond normal quote unquote thought processes. But it's not that you're a superhero. It's that you've trained this.
You know what's really interesting? I thought, because I wear an Oura ring, which measures my stress and my heart rate variability. So it's collecting data on me. I went back and I looked at the data because I was expecting like my heart rate to have skyrocketed. And what I saw was that was actually not the most stressful part of my day. The most stressful part of my day was my workout, like 2 hours, 3 hours prior to. So my stress level during the workout was higher than my stress level during that accident, which was shocking to me and also tells me that my brain was actually a lot more calm and I was more regulated than what I even had given myself credit for. Like, it didn't feel like I was calm, but then looking back at the data from my Oura ring, I was like, I actually wasn't. That wasn't the most stressful part of my day. Mentally, like, it was pretty unnerving and I was definitely shaken up. But oddly enough, my workout was more stressful.
So it's interesting. Do you think that that has any correlation to the training that you've done?
Yeah. Yeah. I almost immediately thought, okay, well, you are prepared for this situation. You know what to do. You know how to keep your composure. You know that you can't think clearly if you're stressed the fuck out right now, and you have to stay calm. And so I knew that getting worked up about the pain my hand was in or the fact that my Jeep was toast, it's totaled, you know, I just have to accept it. And the sooner I can accept it and just start moving towards solutions, the better off my life is going to be and the less, you know, emotional turmoil I'm going to experience. So yes, like everything we've talked about up until this point, I applied. And in the grand scheme of things, a car is replaceable. That's why we have insurance. A human life is not. So I didn't get hurt. The other driver didn't get hurt. At the end of the day, like, this was an ideal accident.
Yeah.
And I know accidents aren't ideal, but in the grand scheme of things, like, you sign up for this risk every time you get into a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had to maintain perspective that, like, this is part of the risk we sign up for every single day when we get behind the wheel.
But you are able to say, I have to accept the fact that this happened. And the only way to get through this is now to look for the next steps.
Yeah.
Just immediately start moving in that direction. Because if you sit and sulk and complain and try to fight the reality of the car wreck, you're not going to move past the car wreck.
No.
Now, not saying that there weren't emotions later on.
Oh, yeah, there were.
So I think that's the coolest part. I think that gets where this gets kind of convoluted is, when people hear it, I actually had a conversation with a guy the other day about it. I was listening to our podcast multiple times, and he said, you know, I think that's great and all, but what happens in reality when you actually are put through these tests? And I said, there are emotions, man. We're not telling you that you go through resilience coaching with us or training or follow what we're talking about here and you don't have emotions. Absolutely not. You had some heightened emotions for several days.
Oh, yeah. I got home that night. So we went to the emergency, well, not emergency room. We went to an orthopedic walk-in clinic. And again, going back to like an extreme feeling of gratitude, we had the luckiest situation. So we walked in there and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. There's no doctor past 4 o'clock. And it was 4:30. And I'm like, okay, great. Where should we go now? So we walk out, we leave, and we're headed to the next orthopedic urgent care center.
Which was 25 minutes away.
Yeah. So it's not the end of the world, but again, just a slight inconvenience because I'm not getting any relief for this pain that I'm feeling. And it's just like, okay, well, I can't do anything about it. So don't get worked up. Just keep doing the next thing. And we're in the car backing out of the parking garage, and the lady at the counter had run down the stairs and chased us down and said, I got a doctor to stay. Come back now. And so we go back and I got x-rayed immediately. He put me in a cast immediately and I was out of there within like an hour of time. And like, again, I just look back and I'm like, what a blessing. Like, what a blessing. I essentially saved myself probably 2 hours of time by just the goodness of humanity coming to help. And I look at that situation, and again, it's hard to feel bad for yourself when someone sacrificed their time to help me out. And now all I'm thinking about is how thankful I am that that doctor chose to help me and stay late.
Yeah.
So got home after that and filed the insurance claim. And then within 24 hours of the accident happening, not even, it was probably more like 18 hours later, I had a rental car waiting for me. And the insurance claims process had begun. And Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, Steve Hall, he is my agent. I will promote the shit out of him because he was there when I needed it the most. When I was at the accident itself and the police officer asked me for proof of insurance. Of course, I can't remember my freaking password to get into the app to pull up my cards. And I just called Steve and asked him if he could send them to me, like, 30 seconds later, had a text with my insurance cards, gave that to the police officer, and things were moving right along. So the insurance process has been so seamless, and I think it's really important. Like, you don't really appreciate insurance and some of that stuff until you really need it. And I really, again, just have looked at every step of this process with so much gratitude because I could have had, you know, an insurance provider who didn't answer their phone, didn't care enough to help me out in a pinch, didn't make this process so seamless, didn't, you know, kindly ask me questions about what happened. I mean, every person that I've contacted at Indiana Farm Bureau about this claim has been so great to me.
Yeah.
And just so empathetic and kind. And it's like, I think those little things are completely taken for granted and we lose touch of how much they matter in situations like this.
Definitely give a shout out to them, man.
Yeah. Like that. Oh yeah.
So is there anything when you look back on that, anytime I go through any situations that are pressing or taxing, I try to think, what did I learn and what could I have done better?
Yeah.
Do you have anything that stands out immediately? Like,
don't drive too close to the car ahead of you. Yeah, 100%. If I had a little bit more space, like just I clipped him and missed, like barely clipped him. I could have avoided him if I had like a foot more of space in front of me or a foot more. So yes, just giving more space and not being in a hurry and just enjoying the process of driving and not trying to rush it.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Yeah. And even just being in traffic, because I was in the rush hour traffic time, just being in traffic can elevate your stress levels. And there's no doubt in my mind that I was probably focused on traffic and I had just seen a cop that was, you know, had a speed trap set up. And, you know, I was thinking about all these different things and I wasn't totally present mentally. Like I needed to be more present, I think.
You think being present is the key takeaway out of that? More present?
I think so. I mean, it's not, there wasn't anything outwardly that I could have done differently just from like a tactical or a skills perspective. I mean, it was just an accident. If that truck hadn't got cut off,
yeah,
you know, who knows, right? But I can be more proactive next time.
I think it's interesting to think that we do all these things in our lives that are, I mean, ripe with potential horrible outcomes. Like just driving alone, you're driving a 3,000-pound vehicle at 60-plus miles an hour down the road, weaving in and out, and everybody else is doing the same thing, not thinking about you doing the same thing.
Like, yeah.
That's impressive. That's a neat little dance that we all have to collaborate on, yeah, without even knowing each other.
Yeah.
So I think it's being intentional is a huge one.
Yeah.
because the more present you are in the situation that you're in, the more able you are to deal with unforeseen variables. Mm-hmm. I know you make fun of me all the time for driving like a grandpa, but I've just
support
seen,
it now.
Yeah, I've just seen too many people go too fast for no reason.
Yeah.
And life comes at you fast, and 60 miles an hour is cooking, man. So I think that's cool that you look back at everything that you went through, and being more intentional is what you land on.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Is there any advice you give to people after that?
One thing I will say that I gave myself time and space to do. The next day after it happened, I took the day off. And part of me wanted to power through and go to my meetings. And I just knew I was exhausted. I didn't get great sleep because my hand was hurting. And I had a cast on, so that's not the most comfortable thing to sleep with. And I just took the day off. I went and got breakfast with a friend just to clear my mind. And I knew she would make me feel better about this situation. So thank you, Leah. And she even told me at that breakfast, you need to make sure you rest today. And I'm like, heard. And so I cleared my schedule and moved my meetings around and just gave myself nothing to do that day. And during that day, I had multiple bouts of crying and just thinking about how I could have died. And that was scary as hell. And I'm just thankful to be alive. And I'm getting a little teary-eyed right now just thinking about it because it's scary. And how often do I take for granted, you know, just the ability to wake up and do the things I do every day? And so I just let myself feel the feelings and cry when I felt like crying and not judging myself for crying and not thinking, oh, you're being a baby, suck it up. No, it was scary as shit.
So you just let yourself feel the feelings, huh?
Yeah.
So I think that's cool because it's not a, like, I want to reiterate the fact that this training is not the removal of emotions. It's the understanding of emotions and the way to process emotions. So you let yourself be totally immersed in that emotion. It was intense and you're allowed to feel like it was intense. And you took time off to allow your body to work through that. Mm-hmm. I remember you telling me a couple of times you just felt like you got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of adrenaline. And your whole system tightens up and tries to get the hell out of there. And it can't because you're buckled in. And then you're squished in with not only your seatbelt, but this big old giant balloon of a airbag that's stuck in your face. You're literally caught. So your body panics and tries to get out of there. So you will feel like you got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
A couple of things I thought were interesting that you said during this whole healing process is one, my hand's healing really fast. You said that, have said that every day. So it's a positive reinforcement to your system, its ability to take care of itself and to become better.
Yeah.
You're literally saying, great job, body. This is awesome. Yeah. Not, this fucking sucks. My hand's broken. I can't do anything.
No, I refused to let my brain go there. I saw on the x-ray, it's broken. It's very broken. The bones are not attached.
Yeah, they're broke.
And I mean, you can look at my hand still. It's pretty swollen still and bruised. Yeah, but
nice yellow color to it now.
It's very colorful, just like my personality. And I just refuse to feel bad for myself because it's not a productive emotion. And yes, I can get frustrated, but I need to like press the reset button when I get frustrated. So I was trying to type and with a cast on, it's not possible. And I kept hitting different buttons with this damn cast. And by the end of an email, like a 2-sentence email, I had probably 14 extra letters and no spaces in there. And I just was getting so frustrated because this one thing that I seemingly was taking for granted prior to having a broken hand was now like hindering my ability to do my job. I thought, oh, I just work at a desk job. I can get back in the saddle, no problem. It's fine. No, sending emails when it takes you 10x the normal time to send an email can get really frustrating, and then you don't want to send emails. And so, like, at that point, I kept getting frustrated and had to take a step back. And I went for a walk and was like, all right, I need a breather because I can't keep getting frustrated. It's not helping me work. And I then started to use talk to text more frequently for email responses. And the only the emails that I absolutely had to type out because they had attachments or something, I would sit and type out. And so that helped a lot. It's a matter of putting coping strategies in place to help you work around the challenges that you've got in front of you. And, you know, I got frustrated to the point where I cried one time, and then I'm like, all right, Kylie, this is not that deep. At least you can still type. At least you can see the screen. At least you have the capabilities of doing this. At least it's not your right hand. You wouldn't even be able to take handwritten notes if this was your right hand, right? So lots of things, again, to help me shift to a place of gratitude instead of sitting in frustration. But it doesn't mean I didn't feel frustrated at many points.
No, because it'll come through as waves.
Yeah.
Frustration is super normal because you took your normal body processes, typing and texting and all these other things that you do all day long at a frequency you don't even recognize until it's taken away.
Yep.
And then it's, holy shit, I text 10,000 text messages a day or write 10,000 letters and texts, and now I can't even write two. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's super frustrating.
Yeah.
But it also allows you to respect the fact that things are working when they are.
Yeah. And now I will not take for granted the fact that I can shoot off emails lickety split. Yeah. On a normal basis. So again, we think these things are things we have to do. No, these are things we get to do because we have the capability.
Yeah. I think that should go on a fucking t-shirt. I love that. So one of the things you said was the other day, I think, 2 days ago, we were talking about all this, and you said, I'm upset, a little bit upset that I'm not as upset as I think I should be. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. How can you be, you can go through this traumatic experience that losing a vehicle is not an easy hurdle to go over. It's just a pain in the ass.
I loved that car, too.
Yeah, it was a cool Jeep.
Connie was the coolest car I've ever owned.
Yeah, she was awesome. She was awesome vehicle, and you absolutely loved it. But now you have to contact insurance and go through all these steps for that and get a rental car and then pick out another vehicle and then go through the sales process again and then get used to driving another vehicle that wasn't the one that you liked and picked out in the first place. So that is a huge hurdle. But to pay homage to the fact that you are alive and you get to play this game of life longer, and you came out of this relatively unscathed.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And to be able to pay attention to just that and not the victim mentality of, I got in a car wreck. Poor me. I can't believe these horrible things happened to me. The world is against me. Because it would be very easy to slip into that. Mm-hmm. Especially with a broken hand that limits your work capability and you work for yourself. So it could be extremely detrimental if you went down that hole. You could lose a month's worth of work and potential clients because of the setback.
Yeah.
Not only that, you took one day off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. But you allowed yourself to go through the emotions. You allowed yourself to process it and cry and be happy and upset. And then by the time you were done processing, you just moved on.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Thanks. I've said this before, it's a minor inconvenience, and that's it. That's it. In the grand scheme of life, like, this is like barely a blip on the radar.
I can't remember who said it. They said if you strung out all of humanity in a line, our blip of our lifetime is so minuscule, it's like less than a pinhead.
Mm-hmm.
Of the entire span of current humanity. Yeah. On that timeline.
Yeah.
That my timeline on there is so small that it's just not that.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you have a broken hand. Yes, you went through a car wreck. Yes, these things happened. But life is still really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I still have a lot to be grateful for. And you can be better because of it.
You know, it was surprising the number of people that said, oh my gosh, that must have been so scary. You're going to be so nervous driving again, or you're going to replay that over and over again. It's like, well, that's not productive. Like, that's not helpful. I'm not going to replay it. I've driven past the site of the accident multiple times because it's a very frequent route I have to take to get anywhere. And yeah, I can feel my heart beating a little bit faster when I pass that location. But at the same time, all I do is breathe through it and tell myself it was an accident. That was a one-time accident. And now I'm smarter because of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to replay that scene in my head over and over because it's not going to do anything for me if I do that. I'm not going to live in anxiety because I still have to go places. I still have to drive. I can't let my life stop because of one minor setback. And the whole definition of resilience is advancing despite adversity. This is adversity. I still have to get past it and I still have to make progress towards my goals. And all things considered, we've had like an amazing last 2 weeks in business.
Yeah.
So we've made a ton of progress from a business standpoint and have grown our business significantly despite this minor inconvenience. So I think it's just really cool that these situations present themselves to us and it's an opportunity for me to practice what we preach. And that's kind of how I looked at it the whole way through. It's like we're resilience coaches because these skills are so necessary.
Well, they're real life.
Yeah.
And they're the difference between the situation crippling you and the situation just being a point in time.
Thanks for listening to Redefining Resilience.
To learn more about building your mental and physical readiness, check out odysseyresilience.org.
And follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok.